This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, let's go around the NFL here. And loop on Sports Radio 610, where before we do that, I guess, we were talking about the advice that you might get from places that you would not expect, a la Draymond Green. And somebody says sometimes fortune cookies give advice that is useful, like enjoy life, and it's better to be happy than to have a wise one or something like that, stuff like that. I feel like we're beyond the time of getting anything close to advice in fortune cookies.
Yeah.
They just have like these milquetoast platitudes, and you're just like, why is this even in here? Don't even put paper in my food now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just be some basic. Today is going to be a great day.
Yeah.
It just be some basic.
Man. I remember when they were actually pretty cool to look at.
Right. Like,
we used to break the cookie open just for the message.
Yeah. You didn't think you would actually get anything out of it. You were just like, all right, I want to see. And now I know damn well it's not nothing worth seeing.
Let me walk around with this in my pocket.
That's right.
Just in case.
Save it. Put it on your little dashboard or something.
Just in case.
Yeah.
All right. We go around the NFL. And let's start still breaking down, you know, the results of the NFL draft, interestingly enough. One of those being the slide that Quinn Ewers supposedly took, because, I mean, we obviously were all so infatuated with Shedeur Sanders, but Ewers was the final quarterback taken in the draft, pick number 231. Obviously, that was in the seventh round. And, you know, some teams had him rated higher than that, but ultimately he does not go highly. And, of course, that doesn't end up being as big of a deal as Shedeur, because it feels like when it comes to the realms of where you started, quote unquote, seemed like Shedeur was in a much higher stratosphere. But Quinn Ewers' agent, who was Ron Slavin, told Todd Archer of ESPN.com that the day after the draft, he reached out to, quote unquote, half the league to find out why Ewers slid that far. He said, quote, they thought he was a third or fourth round pick, too big of a name to be a clipboard holder, which I think is chicken bleep. How do you feel about the assertion that, you know, Quinn Ewers slid a whole bunch because his name was too big to be a backup holding the clipboard?
I think there's a little bit of something to that.
Really?
A little.
I think that was the reason why Shedeur slid.
Maybe.
Like, that's too big of a name to be a backup quarterback.
Yeah, because that's the thing to that people came to with the idea of, like, distractions. And it's, I guess, bigger the name is part of it, but really what you're going to is, like, the ways in which he'll get a lot of questions, and then his father will get a lot of questions, and that'll be covered in a lot. So, you know, in a game where even if he's not the starter, if the starter doesn't play well, then, you know, there's the secondary kind of conversation happening that you don't necessarily want.
Yeah.
Does that happen with Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, well, I ain't think that was like that with Quinn Ewers.
And that's why I said a little bit. He does have a very big name. I mean, he was a brand. He was a big time forward-facing quarterback in college football.
Most of the quarterbacks that are getting drafted do, though. Like, I feel like
but
if you're doing
that.
But
not in the playoffs and, you know, and all that, and having, you know, been the starter at a place like the University of Texas for so long, I'm not saying that was the reason. I think he's you know, by and large, he's off there. I think that, you know, Quinn Ewers did not have what NFL teams deemed worthy of a first through fourth type round, you know. But I think there's a little bit of that because we've always lived in a world in the NFL where the most popular guy is the backup quarterback. It's more so now. You know, if a starter struggles, they want to see, you know, the average fan wants to see the backup on the field. And when they know that backup's name and they've seen him on TV and they've seen him make plays, they want it even more so. That's why I said I think there's a little bit of to that.
Yeah, but I hear where you're trying to come from here, mm-hmm. but the problem is this has to have existed forever mm-hmm. in this. And even in the recent history where even if your assumption is correct or your assertion is correct that, you know, we're getting to an era where dudes are like folks just generally are less patient. That's been the case. Mm-hmm. Like that has been the case in recent history when it comes to dudes who have a big name as college football is a huge, huge product
yeah.
that is almost as big as the NFL. I feel uncomfortable saying that, but I guess you guys can parse yeah. ultimately what that means to you. But yeah, man, like I really just think Quinn Ewers isn't really that good. And when I say isn't really that good, I need to be careful about
this. At this
level,
yeah.
I think, yes, it's for an NFL player. And then also, like, I don't know that there's a lot of development to be wrung out of him in addition to that. I think that's the added element of this where if you're getting a guy who is there, I don't know what else you're getting at him. But the mm-hmm. idea that he is too known to be a clipboard holder feels kind of nonsensical as an ultimate landing point and an agent trying to find a way to console the dude who teams, I guess, maybe did not feel all that highly about in a draft class that was not all that great for quarterbacks to begin with.
Let me put it this way. This is the best way I can put it. Let's say the Texans, and I don't know this, but let's say the Texans had Graham Mertz and Quinn Ewers graded about the same.
Okay.
All right? It's a lot easier to draft Graham Mertz than Quinn Ewers. That's the best way I can put it.
I agree.
Right? Graham Mertz, who's he? He's a backup. Quinn Ewers? Oh, that Quinn Ewers?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, honestly, yeah. I think that's probably the reason why they did take Graham Mertz mm-hmm. because that's somebody like we have no questions on him trying to get on the field or anything
exactly.
like that. He's a afterthought yeah. at this point.
Yeah.
But if it was Quinn Ewers, mm-hmm. like even though CJ Job is safe, of course.
Yeah.
But it's still gonna be that buzz of Quinn Ewers,
yeah.
Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way I can put it.
That is very interesting to view it that way.
It's kind of silly to be honest.
Of course it is.
But yeah. I think that's how they thought. I think that's the reason why Shadur kind of mm-hmm. slid too, because these teams that do have a quarterback that's like he could lose his starting job at any moment.
Yeah.
They probably wanted to stay away from that type of stuff mm-hmm. because as soon as he throw an interception, then they going to pan the camera over to Shadur.
Yes.
Now, are. The one thing I will say though, that hey, maybe it works in the opposite way with Quinn Ewers is you have him back there. And because like he is not all that good mm-hmm. or what have you, at least in my estimation, I don't want to put that as a blanket. Maybe you are open to receiving more criticisms because people are, I guess, somewhat not, people have yeah. seen more of his game.
Yeah.
But even then, all of that reeks of a situation of like allowing the public to force your hand on a decision that does not feel all that strong. If people did indeed believe that, which I don't mm-hmm. necessarily buy, because I still think this is an agent trying to craft a narrative.
No,
that
I think that's by and large
makes
it,
his client feel better yeah. and is able to kind of spin. Yeah. What happened there. All right, some other things around the NFL, and I guess this isn't really still NFL, except he's widely respected as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever do it in the NFL coaching-wise. His name is William Belichick. He is now at UNC, which I'm sure that they are rethinking to some degree, but it seems like Bill Belichick at least has taken the last couple of weeks and looked around and be like, hey, this is not good. Mm-hmm. So let's find some other things. According to multiple sources, Belichick has been talking to at least one experienced PR specialist in the hopes of boosting his book tour. Obviously, the thing that brought him to CBS Sunday morning that gave him the explosive interview in some ways. And then also the overall interests of the North Carolina football program, mm-hmm. which has the handprints of various NFL experts and his girlfriend, Jordan. So it seems like there's conversations to possibly get a experienced PR circumstance to have the assignment that encompasses working with North Carolina directly for their football program and helping him on non-UNC matters like the book tour.
I have a question. Is this to rehabilitate his image or hers?
Yes.
Because if this outside firm is hired, I got a hunch that Jordan had the biggest voice in hiring.
All right, so you're doing the thing where you're making her Yoko Ono.
She is.
Nah, I think you're pretending like she has so much autonomy over everything in a way that I don't think she does. Like, she's had her hand in a lot of things, don't get me wrong. But, like, I think Bill Belichick can look around and be like, hey, man, this isn't working. I want to have better for myself and for my book. I think you're making it as though, like, she is puppet mastering everybody in a way that feels unfair.
I mean,
while also acknowledging that she is messed up. Like, she is absolutely
you've read the stories?
Done a lot of messing up here.
You've read the stories?
Or I think it could be a situation where she's probably having a fit, probably pissed off, and he's trying to make it better. He's trying to smooth it across. Mm-hmm. Like, man, my lady, I take care of this. Let me hire this so we can kind of smooth our little, you know, relationship over and make you look good in the public. Now.
Yeah. No, look, man, did you see the Dunkin' Donuts thing? Did you see the Dunkin' Donuts news that the New York Post reported?
I missed that.
The New York Post reported that Jordan Hudson forced her way into the commercial, the Dunkin' Donuts commercial that started it at the Super Bowl and has been airing. Like, she was not in it. Like, she was not planned to be in it. You mentioned Yoko Ono. She's like, oh, no, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be in it. According to the New York Post, who, by the way, Marchand?
Andrew Marchand,
who's one of the best in the business.
Very good.
Believe it.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about Yoko Ono. I'm like, yeah, we are. We kind of are. I mean, if he's reporting it, I think it was him. It might have been another reporter at the New York Post. But, like, they had this commercial all set up, and she says, nah, I want to be in it.
And closed mouth don't get fed, man.
Nah, but you got this. Like, she's writing all the statements for all these circumstances.
Well, I didn't say that, but I think she's definitely
Nah, her shadow looms large.
She's in the mix.
Her shadow looms large, which, again, like, I am kind of amazed that Bill Belichick got to this point. Mm-hmm. The dude who, you know, notoriously wants to be in charge of everything has gotten to this place where he's like, you know what? Not even just like, and I understand, there are facets of this that make it a little different. But can you imagine 70-some-year-old Bill Belichick, knowing what we did with, like, with the Patriots and everything, going, you know who I think is good enough to make some decisions instead of me?
Yeah.
Any 20-something-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that Bill Belichick respects any 20-something-year-old to this point.
Yeah.
And here she come.
Yeah, but she's fine.
I wonder how this would have looked if he was still the head coach for the Patriots.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
And it would have been even more issues, because I feel like college football works differently, where the authoritative kind of standpoint of being the head coach is singular. In the NFL, I know that he was maybe in those places where it was kind of close to that, but nah, there's enough people around. It's like, hey, dog, this is not going to work like that. Like, there's other, including Robert Kraft, his homeboy. And of course I say that tongue in cheek, because he didn't get a shout out in the book. So we'll see what that ultimately comes out to. But yes, that's going to continue to be something worth watching. Talk about being a distraction.
Oh,
talk about being a distraction. Yes.
And that's one thing that he hates, you know.
Apparently not enough.
Yeah.
Apparently not enough. Mm-hmm. All right, some other things around the NFL. Cleveland Browns, a linebacker for the Cleveland Browns, his name is Devin Bush, arrested on charges of simple assault and harassment in Pennsylvania yesterday. Apparently the Browns are, quote, aware and gathering more info, as is kind of the typical way that this goes. He was drafted by the Steelers in 19, played for them for 4 years, went to Seattle, and now is in Cleveland. And God, Cleveland's got to have the worst luck of any NFL team. And that's saying something, because NFL teams don't necessarily be getting out here just like squeaky clean by any means, but they are just, wow.
They never had a smooth offseason.
Not
a long
once.
Time.
Like, it feels like, how many years would you say it's been since, like, part of the sports radio, like, staple was around this time of year, we just all get on our police scanners and making content was who got arrested.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's been like a solid decade since we have evolved as an industry, as a society, away from, and maybe just as a league also, not having nearly as many of these incidents. But man, here you go. Like, it makes it more evident when one of these folks pops up with these issues.
They should change their name from Cleveland Browns to Florida Man. Because it's like every time you see Cleveland Browns in a headline, it's like Florida Man. You know, you're like, okay, this can't be good. This is not good.
What's crazy is the brother didn't even play a snap for him yet.
Not yet. No. He just got in the building. He signed the contract immediately. Them spirits hit him.
He was in Pennsylvania. He wasn't even in Cleveland. Like, dude, the brother got a house there yet?
That brown stink go everywhere. Man, apparently. Yeah. I appreciate all the many people pointing to the very thing that you need to point to with the Bill Belichick thing is that there's that one thing that's undefeated, ladies and gentlemen. And it's happening for him, I guess. So you typically, as we continue around the NFL, we typically would look at the in that same division, the Baltimore Ravens, as being a good organization that handles things well, except for maybe one particular area. And it seems like that's an area where you might have reason to continue to question them. John Harbaugh, the head coach of the team, in talking about the Justin Tucker situation and the investigation that has continued, the league is obviously still doing that. They drafted a kicker in the sixth round. Of the draft. His name is Tyler Loop. That's kind of funny to me. But according to Harbaugh, as you know, Justin's been in the building the last couple of weeks kicking and everything. Got a chance to talk a little bit. I would just say from the standpoint of the investigation and all that, we don't know anything. We haven't been given any information as it should be. It's all done the way it's done. We don't know anything along those lines, so we can't make any decision based on that. Every decision we make has to be on football, close quote.
Yeah, look, you know, what are the odds that Justin Tucker is going to be the starting kicker for the Baltimore Ravens?
Okay, are we doing it? I'm going to do his percentages because odds be messing me up.
Yeah, percentage is fine.
I will put that at a 15%.
I'm going to say 25%.
I'm going to say less than 5.
That I wanted to go there, but yes. I was like, what are the odds in a circumstance that maybe, just maybe, the NFL investigation, remembering the NFL doesn't have subpoena power and all those things, that they get to a place where they can't really come up, substantiate anything, and he get out here being, understanding that historically he has been one of the greatest, if not the greatest kickers in the NFL. I know he's kind of stunk recently. If he gets out here kicking better and he wins a debate, wins that battle, then, but I feel like a lot of things have to happen in order to get.
That's the thing. Like I put 25% because I don't think they are gonna look at the situation. They are gonna see if he can squeeze out of that situation. And if he's really good, if he's still good, if he stinks, then it's like, nah, we gonna move in a different direction. But if he's still good and he come out of this thing clean, then I don't see them just moving on.
I do.
Just for morals.
I do. I think 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. 2, as in he had a bad year, plus 2, they used a draft pick on a kicker.
Sixth rounder.
A sixth round kicker is like a second round everything else, or first. The fact that they used a
Shout out to Bobby Aguayo, second round pick.
That's right. I was trying to remember who it was.
Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah. But like you use a fifth and sixth round pick on a kicker, that's like a first or second round pick. I mean, you put 2 + 2, man, it still equals 4. I can't see Justin Tucker being the kicker.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think it's slim pickings, but I can see a small path. But yeah, it just feels like they're done there. But they're really leaning on, we're not going to be the ones to do this.
Sure.
We're letting the NFL take any bullets that may come from.
Do you think he make it to camp?
Yeah, probably.
Like he's going to go through camp, preseason, all that
now
stuff.
That you mentioned that, maybe not.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like if he can make it to camp in preseason, then I think that might be a strong chance for him, unless he stinks.
Yeah.
Unless he really is really out here looking bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a high chance he might survive this.
I feel like the NFL would like to have this done and buried before they get to that circumstance because I don't know that you want a potential like news of the actual story, like or whatever they come up with their investigation.
Yeah.
Being running in that same time period where, you know, people are talking about a lot of NFL, or maybe you do. Maybe that's a time when you have other things that might drown it out.
Sure.
But then like him, if he ultimately does get cut or whatever, all of that storyline, just like, where is the place where you could bury that most? Is that in the doldrums, I guess, as you're kind of going through camp type stuff, or is that, or like mini camp type stuff, off season type stuff, or is
distractions?
That, is that into the point where you're in training?
Because I'm wondering too, like maybe it could be a contract thing, but why didn't they cut bait with him now? It seemed like they just waiting on that process to kind of.
They don't want to be too hasty with it, I don't think.
Well, I think they don't want to carry the onus of responsibility,
right.
Which again, makes it so that I don't want to hear y'all get out here talking about zero tolerance, right? And I understand that might be kind of unfair because we live in an American society where the expectation is innocent until proven guilty. But You get out here, people love pounding their chest on the zero tolerance and everything that implies, but don't necessarily actually act in that space. And I'm like, I understand why you would not be zero tolerant. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think that you can gain the benefit of being out here beating your chest on that. And if you're 713, if Justin Tucker does get cut, the Browns will definitely sign him. They said they are sex Florida offender. Man. Sex offender you is the worst thing that I've ever heard in my life. What?
Sex offender you.
That is crazy. That is wild. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there was a trade rumor about Christian Kirk. It can't be real, right? And even if it isn't, do you want to talk through what that would possibly mean? We'll do it next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every time Figgy plays some like blog era, like backpat type beat coming back, it makes me smile. You get me, and I appreciate that. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, the aforementioned Figgy Fig here with you on a Monday. Trying to be happy after an unfortunate loss by the Rockets in Game 7 of that series. They're done after their first playoff run with this in this new era of the Rockets. We'll talk more about that. As we keep going from the 214, Rockets someday might finally figure out how to beat the Warriors in the playoffs and end the losing streak. Shaking my damn head. Yep.
Just that, one before I die.
That was the one that was most uncomfortable. Seeing Draymond Green talk about, like, yeah, I know Fred VanVleet said this was a different team, but it's the same organization. I was like, damn, that's a bar, and I want to karate chop him in his throat now.
Nah, he got me when he looked in the camera and said, good night.
Oh, that was...
I'm like, TNT, why y'all do that, man?
Karate chopping me.
And then he said, it's been real.
He said, good night. He looked into the camera as they were going to commercial break.
Yeah.
Good night. It's been real. I'm like, oh, don't go to commercial like that.
It was that 5G camera, too, wasn't it? It was that, whatever they call it.
He said 5G.
What are they?
5K or whatever.
5A, 5G.
That might have been a 10K camera.
Some letter.
Is that the Wi-Fi camera?
That
brother grabbed
camera.
The camera and said, good night. It's been real. Yeah. And then went to commercial break, man. Yeah. TNT set that one up.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Why'd I do that to
myself? How about this? Just real quick. Steph still found a way to get his little good night hands.
See, y'all going to find you. Are you sick of him yet?
He's so sweet.
Are you sick of the baby face yet? Y'all was out here laughing at me.
He did it on an assist.
Y'all were out here laughing at me. Now y'all feel it, don't you?
He said that he did the good night hands on an assist, not even a shot.
And then he had them stupid little glass. All right, anyways.
Yeah.
So Pro Football Network put out a list of each team's most expendable player, trade and cut candidates in a way. And I mean, it's one of those things, offseason lists get the people going, right? This is that time of year where, you know, hey, you need to put some content out, put out a list. Why not? In
fact, yeah.
I need to write that down. We need to do some lists. But for the Houston Texans, they came down and they looked at the draft that this Texans team just had. And then they came to the idea that the most tradable player on this team was a player that you literally just traded for, a seventh round pick in Christian Kirk.
Hadn't even put on a uniform yet.
Has not put on a uniform yet. obviously, we've kind of talked about him as one of the givens in this wide receiving room when there's two of them, obviously Nico Collins being the other. In your mind, is there any reason, like, is there any possibility at all whatsoever that he could be expendable before the season even starts?
Okay, so when I saw this report, I read the story on SI.com, and you had the Pro Football Network thing, and my first thought was, get the hell out of here. You know, sometimes you just like, get out of here with that garbage. And then you start looking at it, and you start reading it, and you're like, okay, the way you phrase that question is perfect. Because you said, is there any way that it could be?
Right, because I think
not that it will be, that it could be.
Let's handle the immediate portion of that. This is stupid, right? Like, this is in the immediate.
As I said, get the hell out of here.
This is stupid. As a team that is hoping to try and contend at a certain level, you need experience at as many places as possible. And that's part of what Christian Kirk brings, right? He has the explosive dynamic readiness. But I understand you got Higgins and Noel. Those guys, assuming that those are the guys that ultimately win kind of the battle of being the, you know, higher up on the usage of the wide receivers that you have in that room. I don't think you necessarily want to go into a season or even like have a majority of the season look like Nico Collins with just kind of those young guys figuring out the league. I think you want somebody who has a level of experience that Christian Kirk has, and you literally just traded the seventh for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the kind of immediate future, could this necessarily be a situation where you have, not only did you get Higgins, who feels like, all right, he could play the Z and kind of complement what you're doing there with Nico Collins, but Jalen Noel could be a slot type guy where, in order to kind of have it, especially if he turns out to be good pretty quickly, in order to give him space to roam like Rome, like that might be a situation where Christian Kirk is a short-term play as opposed to like a long-term fixture in this wide receiver room.
So again, you know, my first inclination was no way, but the way you put it makes you think. Could it? Yes, it could. And here's why. You got Kirk for a seventh round pick, and you're paying him, what, 16 and a quarter?
That sounds about right. I'll double
check. And this a one-year deal? Is this a one-year?
It's for 1 year right now. So you're paying him $16 million. And you expended a seventh round pick. And the thing that the reason I say it could, as, and again, I want to emphasize, I don't want it to happen. I don't think it'll happen, but it could be plausible, is all this happened before you got two receivers in the draft. Now, keep in mind, the rumor was they were going to try to move up for a lineman. That didn't happen. And then you went receiver, lineman, receiver.
So circumstance kind of put you in
a place where you got two receivers. We were kind of kidding around last week about the number of offensive linemen that are going to be in the room at 17, which is just ridiculous.
Oh, that's not kidding. That's the number of guys that will be there for camp.
There's going to be 17 offensive linemen. Did you know there's going to be 13 wide receivers?
Which feels kind of crazy.
13 wide receivers in the room, including a couple of veterans that you brought in Braxton Berrios and Justin Watson. So could it? If someone gives you a fifth, sixth?
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host...
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I think so. I think it depends on how these rookie receivers perform.
Of course.
Like, if you see them and they like, oh, man, we can't keep him off the field, then I do see them parting ways. Kind of, I kind of look at that. This is a little, might be a little more dramatic, but the Cam Robertson signing, how it's a one-year deal, and you kind of hoping that person behind him take that next step for next season. But if it take off quicker than you think.
Yeah.
Then it's like, maybe we don't need no Cam Robinson or in this case.
Christian Kirk.
Yeah, Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Because I kind of seen that happen in Cleveland a little bit years ago when Nick Chubb was a rookie and you had a guy by the name of Carlos Hyde there. But Nick Chubb was so good that they couldn't keep him off the field, so they traded Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
I appreciate the kind of thought process that you're working through there because in theory that works. I think you then come back to the idea of, you have this young quarterback in C.J. Stroud who you are empowering more and more.
Right.
I can't see you getting to a place where you're like, oh, man, Jalen Nowell and Jaden Higgins are coming on so strong that we are going to trade a dude who, in theory, is going to be a large part of what you're doing in the middle of a season that you're going and trying to hope to go and contend with the AFC that has all the quarterbacks and has consistently been a challenge. I can't see them doing that in that space. That does, though, raise the question, was Pro Football Network even right when they were talking about the most expendable player on this team? Like, is there any possibility that there is another player that you look at that you go for this Texas team? Not saying that you would want them to do that.
But you kind of drafted over, you're talking about?
Or for whatever reason that you look at and you go, that player is more expendable considering what you have. Because from the 8-3-2, they said the Texas most expendable is actually Dalton Schultz. Would you agree with that? I mean, also, I mean, you sign, you drafted Luke Lachey in a seventh round. He feels like he's going to be somewhat developmental as a dude. But that would add another guy to that room. It seems like, and I know that John Harris was very big on the possibility that this could be the Cade Stover glow-up year, right? How strongly do you feel about the idea of maybe Brevin Jordan having, like, does that, you know, kind of inspire anything within you, or is there even somewhere else that you would look at where you go, maybe, expendable player?
No, I think Dalton Schultz would fit in that category with Christian Kirk. I don't see it happening, but when you lay it out like that and you look at all the receivers in the room and there is still a little bit of a veteran presence, even though they're not Christian Kirk, you know, with Watson and Berrios and obviously Nico Collins, then maybe, you know, you could see where it's plausible that something like this could happen. The other thing that's really funny is this is right in Nick Caserio's wheelhouse, doing something like
just
this.
Just sending the Trey Hockenson trade in the middle of the year.
This is so Nick Caserio. It's like, yeah, we got a seventh, got back a sixth, and we drafted
just flipping houses, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I think also the other thing is, I feel like we kind of had that conversation with Robert Woods at one point where we thought he was going to get cut because it was at that time it was so many different receivers, and it's like, man, he got to be the one to get cut, and he actually made the team.
You can't keep 13. There, I mean, there's no way.
Right, and that's the same reason why people look at like the idea of John Metchie. There's a few people, actually, the 281 on the text line pointing to John Metchie being his potential kind of move on for a conditional late round pick, just something, see if you can get something off of him for a team that's willing to take a shot on a guy who maybe does not have the riches that you have in wide receiver and talent there. The resounding answer when I pose the question of who might be a expendable player, and I know that, I don't know that D'Amico would want this because D'Amico loves having his defense and all of the tools possible to help it. Jimmy Ward does feel a lot more expendable now, doesn't he? Right, and it's not just that you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson to play everyday safety, so you have Bullock and Johnson there. It's also that you drafted some safety help as well, and you got, I think you're filling out that cornerback room into a place where I think Jimmy Ward is who you first go to as a backup for Jalen Green or Jalen Petrie as well. It feels like you're getting some guys that can maybe play in that role too.
Well, you drafted Jalen Smith,
right? Who could also get into that space. So I do look around and I go, hey, does Jimmy Ward become some level expendable, or is his experience and his kind of gravity as a leader, does that matter more?
I mean, look, they love Jimmy Ward, but there's a reason they brought in Gardner Johnson, you know, to play that role and nothing else. Kalen Bullock isn't going anywhere. Off the top of my head, remember what Jimmy Ward's making, but at the same time, you did draft a
stand by for news.
I count on you for these things.
Don't do that.
you did draft a safety later, and you have other safety options as well.
Yeah. Someone went even as far as could Jimmy Ward be a surprising cut, and that is a great question to ask because. Jimmy Ward, I would love to have him, but then you start wondering what the cost actually is. I'm trying to find what Jimmy Ward is making this year, so I make sure that that I have that. But Jimmy, nope, that's Titus Howard. That is not Jimmy Ward. But Jimmy Ward is, I mean, he's making $5.5 million thereabouts before he becomes a free agent in the next offseason. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But I feel like the experience that he brings and his ability to play would keep him in that toe. Although, if you get some back, who knows? And somebody said trade Pierce, the most expendable, and sign Nick Chubb. Who Nick Chubb's Nick Chubb is still out there, and it does make me wonder if people think that he is just taking way too much of the battering and the bruising that happens playing in the way that he did running back for such a long time.
I think it's the injury too, man. Yeah. He had two bad injuries, man. Mm-hmm.
And I guess speaking again to just how strong this defense has been, when you talk about the depth, Christian Harris, another name that comes in that we didn't mention.
Yeah.
That
I hadn't thought of him. Yeah, that would
with
be
EJ Speed coming in.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, that would be another one right there.
We'll see, man. Excited to see what happens as we get into offseason stuff deeper. And remember, this week we got rookie minicamp starting on the 9th as well, man. We're getting closer and closer to seeing more and more football stuff to let us know what this next campaign for your Texans will look like. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including we're talking about the. Talking about the Texans, they have their charity golf event going on today. Already some quotes filtering out from there. Plus, a team in baseball has fired their hitting coach. Should the Astros follow suit? We'll do it next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Can't jump off sides if there's no hard count. You love to see it. It is Cinco de Mayo, first and foremost. Hope that everybody is having a good Monday to that.
And happy birthday to Ron.
That is right. Ron Asho Hughley is another year older. I was about to say how old he is, but I realized I actually don't know how old he is. Yeah. So,
did he crack 40?
Is he 40? We'll find out later. Find out later. Put your guesses in. How old is Ron Asho Hughley?
No, he's over 40.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta be. Been married, didn't he say 16 years?
Is it 16?
15, 16 years, I think.
She put up with him that long? Yeah. God bless her, man. Courtney is a saint. But yeah, we'll see what that is. I bet if he's hearing this right now, he's going to come in with that patented smile, looking at me crazy through the window. All right. So yes, I hope that at least your Cinco de Mayo can help ease the pain of a Rockets Game 7 loss to the Golden State Warriors. That one was 103-89. Real tough go of it. Your leading scorer was Alperen Şengün, but a really inefficient Alperen Şengün, just as a team inefficient, weren't scoring very well in the paint, weren't able to get up very many shots. Buddy Hield went insane, knocking down shots. Oseda, I don't think that he's 49, dog. I don't think that that's
God.
No, I'm going to say 42.
42, you're locking in a 42?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 41.
Okay. I'm going to say he's 39.
All right.
Let me say that. I'm probably wrong. But anyways, a tough loss to the Golden State Warriors. And so that sends them to the offseason, where now we will have all of the offseason conversations, including where they are. We'll continue talking about some of that and what got them to, how that series unfolded coming up next. But some other things that happened this week, a fun weekend of various stuff. I guess salute to the Houston Roughnecks getting a victory. And condolences to the Houston Dynamo losing to LAFC on the road. Some news that is coming out. Actually, before we get there, I do want to point to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Which I did not watch. I will admit, I did not watch. It's
guess
not
where I watched it.
On a boat. You spent the whole weekend on the boat. I'm surprised that you're still here. I thought you'd
did
be
you,
on the boat.
Did you actually sleep on the boat?
Like, no. But
you should have.
I could.
I don't think he got that kind of boat. I don't think it's the boat that you sleep in.
I was like, oh, Derby's on. So I pulled up to an island. I sent you a picture. It's a little island. Just parked my boat. Watched the Derby on my phone.
Good for you. Yeah, I watched the Derby on my phone as well. Yeah. On social media, I was like, I can watch the race itself in a couple of minutes. I cannot deal with all this. Yeah. Although, I did miss Xavier Leggett. Mm-hmm. I always say his name wrong. Just cutting up and being his incredible self. He's a big horse guy, mm-hmm. as you know, being a Carolina dude. And so he wants to eventually get into that. But a lot of people did watch the Derby somehow, some way. It keeps doing this. 17.7 million viewers. Which is amazing. The largest television audience for the Derby since 1989.
That is amazing. 17, that's a playoff game.
And somehow it was a loss for journalism.
Okay, you're going to do that too?
Yeah, I'm happy you did that.
That's how I found out who didn't win the Derby.
Sovereignty beats journalism.
Not the only loss for journalism in these days, if we're going to be completely
true.
Honest.
This is true. And I can't believe
surprising Figgy, win for sovereignty
Figgy,
as well.
Figgy got the low hanging fruit.
I'm proud of you. I thought you would be proud.
Yeah.
Our question of the day on Friday was, what is something that you were shameless about?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, this is a Lopez special. This kind of a problem. And that's one of those things that I figured you would be shameless about.
Yes.
But yeah, shout out to Sovereignty winning the Derby. Mm-hmm. The owner, Godolphin. And jockey Junior Alvarado, mm-hmm. in addition to the trainer William Mott, these are names that you don't need to know, but they will know that they will share a winnings of $3.1 million for that, and they move on in the quest for the Triple Crown.
And that $3.1 million is going to probably turn into about $40 or $50 million
because with siring,
yep.
Which, by mind
that's
you,
where they make all their money.
Yeah, once you get the prestige of winning these, especially if you win, you know, multiple. In the Triple Crown, you get to go and sell, you know, you get to do the sperm races, right? You get to sell, and that's funny enough. All of these participating horses in this Derby, all descendants.
Yeah.
Of Seabiscuit.
Was it Seabiscuit? Sovereignty is a descendant, a great-grandson of Secretariat.
Oh, Secretariat.
Yeah.
I say Seabiscuit. Yeah. That's the S name. Secretariat. There you go. Mm-hmm. But that's they all got that siren done. So, mm-hmm. yes, they're going to make even more money there. All right. Speaking of money and the making of it, the Texans are trying to get. I mean, we've been talking a lot about what they've been doing when it comes to trying to get a new NRG situation. And one of those things that it feels like is adjacent, if not connected to it, mm-hmm. is getting their operations out of the building itself and having it somewhere else. That we got a little bit of insight into. With the Texans charity golf event happening right now. And so Cal and Hannah McNair are talking. D'Amico Ryans, there's some quotes that we're getting there. And Cal and Hannah McNair have discussed the considerations of a new practice facility / headquarters potentially being somewhere else in the greater Houston area. Obviously not being there at NRG Park there or wherever else you might even consider that a park would be built. So this has legs, and we kind of knew that to some degree, but now we have confirmation that this is something that they could very much and that they feels like they are considering doing.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
And this is what raised my eyebrows. And you know, when this whole conversation started, you know, one of the things I kept saying is like, I can see them working. They're going to start out with, hey, Reno, and you know, we want to be here.
Oh,
and,
you say this is the soft pedal?
And then gradually add, and they did. They added maybe move our offices, you know, out of NRG, put a little more pressure on the county.
You think that's pressure?
Yes. Absolutely, that's pressure.
I don't view it as such. Can you explain that to me, please?
Because they're saying we don't need you. You don't give us what we want in terms of being able to fix our own stuff. And make our own decisions and not have to jump through all the loopholes and red tape of going through the county just to get plumbing fixed. Yes, it's putting pressure on them. And then there's this, which Will Kunkel just tweeted.
Shout out to Will. We got to talk to Will.
We got to talk to Will.
We got
to
kick it with Kunkel.
That's right.
Just a few minutes ago, Texans owner Cal McNair says they're willing to move out of the NRG area for a new stadium.
Okay.
They'd like to stay in the greater Houston area. Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah, great.
I appreciate that.
I would like to stay in the greater Houston area, but so, if ain't nothing in there.
So now.
What, are they going to move to Brenham? What the hell?
So now they're not just floating, moving their headquarters.
You're talking about the stadium.
A new stadium. We could see this coming. It's ratcheting up a little pressure.
And the operative portion there is the greater Houston area. Because you're saying the I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can hear you is the I don't need you for Well, I mean,
they want control.
You'd have to get out of the county in order to do that, right? Which I guess you could. There are places that you get out of the county.
Well, you have to get away from a county run facility.
Well, you'd have to get away from this county run facility.
Yes.
You could get another county, like, say, Fort Bend County or whatever. You know, like, you can maybe see if you find somewhere nearby in the suburbs that with a municipality or county that is willing to float you.
No, but you can also work with the city. Like,
yeah, that is fair.
Like, the Dykin Park has nothing to do with the county. They're working with the city.
Right.
So what I'm saying is they're putting some pressure to get away from that. And I frankly, you know, applaud that. Yeah, because all they want to do is run their own stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that comes with obviously the maintenance, but also being able to build like an entertainment district and real estate development there and generate all the income that comes from that. So yeah, that was a very interesting kind of thing that came out there in this continued space that we're watching. Another thing that came out, of course, in addition to the typical Tank is doing great, he's in good spirits, is also D'Amico Ryan said that rookie Arionte Ursary will begin his work with the Houston Texans at tackle. And the vision for Ursary is at tackle. So the conversation that we've had about the 6'6", 330-pound behemoth that is Tay Ursary and the possibilities of, well, could you see him kicking inside the guard and using that size and strength in the confines of that guard space as opposed to being out tackle has kind of been scratched out. So now that really puts you back in the place of who are your guards, which is a conversation that I imagine we will continue having here on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, we will. And I think it definitely leans more heavily into Titus Howard. You know, he's going to be your left guard.
That one I already felt strong about.
Yeah, he's
going to
be your left guard.
Who's your other guard between, like, do you go the Juice Scruggs route, which was the last guy you saw before Shaq Mason, who's no longer on the team? Or is this a Lakin Tomlinson type beat, right? Is this, I was about to say something mean. I'm not trying to. Is it Eddie Ingram, right? Like, where are you going? with that other guard spot.
Nick Broeker, don't forget him.
Yeah, I can't forget Nick Broeker, apologies. All of those are in there when we start talking.
Did you say Lakin Tomlinson?
That was the first one I started with. Yeah. He feels like the leader in the clubhouse to be the other guy, doesn't he? The other guard? If you had to put a leader in the clubhouse.
I would say Juice.
Okay.
The guard?
But I think it's arguable. Yeah, but I think it's arguable. You know who I think this puts a lot of pressure on?
Who's that?
Blake Fisher. I think it puts a lot of pressure on Blake Fisher.
Because it feels like Cam Robinson is set, so the other tackle spot
this ain't your job yet. You got the word for this job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trent Brown, I think, is going to get a little benefit of the doubt, but he's clearly saying he wants Ursary at tackle. So
very explicitly saying that. Speaking of Tank Dell, did you see the full leg sleeve tattoo?
I did.
That he was able to get.
I want to look it up. I want to look at it again because I was on my phone when I saw it.
I thought it was kind of fly.
But it was kind of dark, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is because it's got a lot of kind of horror elements from he's got the Scream mask on it. He's got, oh my gosh.
Jason.
Jason. I was about to say Freddy, and I was like, I know that's not Freddy. But it's got Jason in there. It's got Michael Myers on there as well. It has kind of the drama faces of the Laughing and Crying, which I don't necessarily know how to interpret that. It's got Chucky on it. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was a horror fan like that. And also, I don't know that I would do anything near that if I would, like, I hate to sound like somebody's daddy, but I just imagine 50-year-old.
How you going
to
look when you get old?
Yes. Dude. Yes. That's exactly what I'm wondering about.
That is a lot.
It's a lot of ink, baby.
He had to go under anesthesia for it, too.
I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of black and red on there.
It looked like it was about 6 people working on that tattoo at the same time, too.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, somebody posted it, yeah.
I don't know about this, man. That is a lot.
Yeah, man. But I guess if you're real passionate about it, that is cool. But, yeah, I know
Grandpa, tell me about that tattoo on your leg. You know, when he's a grandpa. Well.
It's a lot of those that we're going to have. I feel like as a society, we're just going to have enough of that conversation where people are just going to be like, people do that.
See, I'm fine with what he put on his leg. The only one I have an issue with was the Scream mask.
That's going to scare
really?
Everyone.
Yeah. Of all the ones, why is it the Scream mask?
I feel like that one, I don't know if people talk about Scream as much as far as like horror movies. Because I feel like Chucky, I feel like Jason, I feel like all of those you can put on today and then kind of understand what's going on. Scream, I don't know if that travel well with time. I don't know if that travel well with time.
I don't know. This is bizarre to me, man. That's a lot.
Well, I mean,
I think it looked fly.
You do?
I wouldn't get it, but it looked fly.
Mm-hmm. It did look like well done work. I will say that.
It was great
work. It did look like well done work, so I'll say that. From 346, do Cal and Hannah still have horses? Do you have any?
Bob was the big horse guy. I don't know. Bob McNair had a horse that raced in the Derby back in the day.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
I bet you could.
Actually, that's what the first place I ever, well, not met, but had a conversation with Cal was way back in the 90s.
You went to the Derby?
I went to the Derby.
You would go to the Derby.
And I think largely because of Bob McNair.
I think I despise the Derby now.
Because of me?
No. Don't flatter yourself.
But yeah, and so I would guess he probably still dabbles, but that would only be a guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody said Jeepers Creepers. Mm-hmm. Reggie going to get inked up with anime. How did this
do? Is.
What are we doing here? How did this happen?
100%.
Would you get a tattoo?
No. Mm-hmm. I always say that there's nothing I feel so strongly about that I want to say it forever. That's how I feel about tattoos. That's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not like opposed to the tattoo itself. I'm just like, yeah, I don't really got anything that I feel like I wouldn't in a couple of years be like, damn, why'd I do that?
Yeah.
You know, and so I wouldn't do it. But shout out to the folks who rock with it, including Nathaniel Tankdale. I know he don't like going by Nathaniel, but, you know, it's a cool name. Mm-hmm. And for the really cool ink that he got. Like, it you're right. It did look
good. It looked good.
But, yeah, I was surprised about that. All right. And Figgy, by the way, someone said you would be surprised how much people love Scream. Aren't there like 20 of those? Like, there's a lot of Screams. Like,
yeah.
They don't keep making those because they make no money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I never go to Scream whenever I'm talking about horror movies.
Okay.
Like classic horror movies.
Yeah.
So he went with Chucky, Scream.
He went with all of them.
Michael Myers. Yeah. So, yeah. He went with Jason. The classics. Mm-hmm. He went with the classics.
Yeah.
I will say that. He ain't put no Leprechaun in there or nothing. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to the Rockets. And a man that we had not talked, I don't think, enough about in this series, Ime Udoka. What does he have to improve coming out of this series? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.